This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
Pod is War. Shout out to King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard. That's Dead Stick. Check them out. Hell of a song. I liked it from the get-go, even though Andrew thinks I didn't listen to it. Welcome back, Pod is War. You can follow us at Pod is War. You can follow me at PC Tunny. You can follow Andrew at IWC War Chief. And the man that is going to have the best evening of all of us, Ray Cash. You can follow him at It's Ray Cash, as he will be rooting on. Are they your number one NBA team, or is every Houston team your secondary team?
I thought he was a Suns man.
I'm a Suns
man. Oh, that's right. I knew that. I don't know why I didn't. We've gone back and forth about that. That's right. I just know that he doesn't. Are the Astros your baseball team?
Diamondbacks.
Oh. Okay.
You really like Arizona, huh?
But Baltimore, then there's Baltimore. So it's like he's
well,
got
that
a
makes sense.
Winter home, summer home, I guess. And then he just stops in for the...
I vacation in Arizona, but you know, I live in Baltimore.
He flies the helicopter low enough to drop some money in Houston for the girls.
My dad's side of the family's from Phoenix, so that's where they're going.
That makes sense.
All right, once upon a time. But we already know how bad my memory is.
Yeah, we do.
Gentlemen, it was a hell of a WrestleMania weekend, and we are, as you listen, is the day of the NFL draft, which is really special to me. It's up here in Green Bay. Not that I'm going to go, but it'll be cool that it's up there, and everybody up there is going to make a lot of money. Kind of Mark Murphy's magnum opus as he leaves and retires. So we'll get into all of that. I think we should start, though, with WrestleMania, don't you guys?
One would think.
Okay. Fair enough. And you know what? We'll do that right after this commercial break. You're listening to Pod is War with Ray Cash, Andrew Velez, PC Tunney, right here on the ChairShot.com, also on ChairShot Radio Network, on all of your favorite streaming platforms. And don't forget about ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Welcome back, Pod is War. You know who we are. WrestleMania overall, it's like a week now, right? It's like Friday is the matches that don't make it onto the card. Saturday afternoon, Ray, myself, and AJ had a great time after the NXT show discussing that. Then you got Saturday night, Sunday night. Monday Night Raw, I thought, was the best of all of it. Spoiler alert. And then for those of you that watch NXT, there was a fair amount of fun stuff happening there last night. Ray, what's your overall thoughts on everything WrestleMania? How was your year? You were super hyped for it. You did a whole ton of work last week. Thank you, by the way. I'm sure people are, if you haven't listened, go back. Just a plethora of great episodes from Ray during Ray Cashmania.
Yeah, and I hereby want to tender my resignation.
That's what you came on the show for tonight?
I just wanted to get out the way. No, it was
the start of a new season of retirement, so go for it.
It's a new day.
Yes, it is.
No, it was a pleasure to do that. My favorite time of year. I love WrestleMania. It's Christmas to me. I enjoyed it very, very much. Night one seemed to be more about moments. Night two seemed to be more about action. Although the night two main event was more about moments and the night one main event was more about action, but nonetheless.
True.
Very, very happy with how things went out. I'm still bummed for Bayley because that's not what we know now. That's just, I get it. Storyline, that's total bullshit. That's just not okay with me. And I'm bummed for the Profits because all three of those teams deserved to have that TLC match on WrestleMania, but whatever, it is what it is. Things happen. I'm super excited for Joe Hendry, who got the moment of a lifetime. I'm super excited for certain people like Dominic Mysterio, Jacob Fatu, Seth.
Like that. Dominic's face. Like that.
I mean, like, well, we knew it. We knew.
Right,
but then over.
But nobody went and said, yeah, Dominic's winning and he's going to be a face instantly. Nobody came out and said, but you're right. We did know that eventually he was going to be liked as much as he's booed. That's just the way the dichotomy works. But that was just a really cool moment. I'm like, wow, awesome.
That's so, you know, they have those almost NFL films like reels of WrestleMania that they do. Dominic running back in the ring to celebrate again is going to be in there because that was like, that wasn't Dominic Mysterio. That was Dominic Gutierrez, like really taking in his, truly his life's work because the kid started at 8.
That clip will be on his Hall of Fame reel.
100%. And it was beautiful and it was deserved.
Yeah.
Because that boy's put it in work. I think it was 2 years ago or last year, one of them, he wrestled the most matches by like 30 matches.
He was second.
Hey, he's young. He's young, and to be honest with you, like, he's a good worker. He knows what he's doing in there. He's smart. Like, he was born and raised and lived it, right? You know, I think about, like, and this is a horrible comparison, but I'm going to do it anyway. I grew up going to softball tournaments every single weekend. It wasn't a far-fetched thing that I would end up, like, traveling the country
playing softball,
right? And actually being good at it when my dad was good at it. So I think, Dom, the sky is the limit. Like, people have been really talking about how he is adored backstage by everybody.
Oh, yeah. Also, one more shout-out before we get into the specifics of things. Io Sky, every flower that exists in this world, she deserves because she has been killing it. Quiet, she doesn't talk, she minds her own business. The whole part of the story was she was an afterthought no more. She kicked ass, and I think there are three matches that have the right to call themselves match of the weekend. I think one is Head and Shoulders above it, but that's one of the three. That woman's triple threat. It was just excellent in every way.
Yeah, no argument. I mean, I'm always remiss to use recency bias to crown something as like the best of history forever, but it was really good, and it's in the argument probably for WWE women's matches in general, and the triple threat with Punk, you know, Seth and Roman, that was a moment and a good match on top of it. So that's great stuff. And I'm glad you brought him up because some people were dogging on Hendry, kind of getting 3 minutes and then an RKO, but that, you know how the internet works.
Yeah,
you do. I'm not saying I was. I'm just saying some people were.
No, I'm with you. It's stupid. Like,
yeah, well, they weren't
work for the company.
They weren't necessarily dogging on Hendry. They were dogging on like Triple H and how it was booked. And it's like, turn around and listen to the interviews the guy's given. He's like, this is the best thing that's ever happened to me.
And not to mention, that is probably one of Randy's like quintessential RKOs that they're going to replay at different points because of the way they framed it, because he timed out the heel, like the heel, I'm going to say heel spin because heel turn means something different in wrestling, from Hendry, and he did the smile into the camera and then him just flying from out of camera into like the RKO. That was beautiful.
Most underrated part of the whole match was after the match he did the turn with the RKO pose. Like, if that's not putting yourself over, nothing else will. So shout out to that.
Randy, and by the way, get in a little offense too, so that can't be understated.
Randy asked for the match.
Oh, and I didn't hear that.
By every rumor that's out there is that Randy was like, "Well, let's do Joe if we can't," you know, because they told him no Rusev, no Aleister Black. They wanted to save them because they knew they'd have to win.
Monday,
he's like, "Well, call Joe Hendry."
Well, they used Aleister Black and Rusev perfectly, right? Like tomorrow, you're gonna watch Aleister Black debut on SmackDown.
Yep.
you got Rusev on Monday, which was really cool. Everybody, you know, they talk about these guys coming back and forth and coming back home to WWE, and they even talk about, like, really super big name guys saying the same thing. They've been gone for a while. Will they remember me? Like, dude, we fucking remember you, Rusev Day.
That's also more the hardcore fans, though.
Right.
It was a mania crowd.
You're right. It's
so
a,
I'm just like, but at the same time, like when they frame it that way, because the casual fan won't know.
I still think, though, if he comes back on a random Monday Night Raw, like in October, he gets the same reaction.
Well, I think, too, because fortunately, more than Aleister Black, Rusev has done some acting.
Oh, he made
so it. He's not like a nobody.
No, he wrestled Cena at WrestleMania. I mean, for fuck's sake.
Well, that too. But I'm just talking about outside of the scope of wrestling. Yeah. Like, he's done some acting. He's like one of the more prominent Clippers fans. Like, he's always shown. Like, he's known a little bit outside of the scope of his wrestling career. So I'd imagine that people would know him a little more than maybe Aleister.
I still do appreciate when they frame it that way, because you have to delineate between the hardcore fans who watch 90% of everything and the casual fan who just catches Raw and maybe SmackDown if they're lucky that week, and they only know what's put in front of them because WWE has been a household name for 50 years or whatever the hell it is. You know, I lost count after a while. But, like, you can't just lean into one way or the other. Then you get what AEW has turned into, and we see that.
Yeah. I got three gripes from the whole from Saturday night and Sunday night altogether. One, I didn't like Jay tapping out Gunther. It didn't make sense to me. I mean, it makes sense. I get it. He's like overcome and everything, and finally turned it around. But like, anyway, Tiffany Stratton was not ready for that match in the ring. Charlotte, like three or four times, is like calling for her to get to her spot and do what she's supposed to do. I don't think it was too egregious, but like, you can't, don't do that next WrestleMania. Then it becomes a tag on you, you know? And then lastly, and even The Rock said it, he was on Pat McAfee.
Mm-hmm.
I would have finessed the, he goes, I love John winning. He goes, I would have finessed the finish a little bit differently. That's the way he put it. Cause I thought it took too much time. I will give Travis Scott huge props, because after John had won and he reached out and pulled him up into the ring with him, John had Travis Scott's hand and he was about to raise Travis Scott's hand, and Travis Scott ripped his arm away, grabbed John mm-hmm. Cena's arm and looked at him and said, no man, I raised your hand, you're the champ. That solidifies, just me personally visually seeing it and confirming with my own eyes, everything that everybody like Hunter, etc., have said about Travis Scott. Like, he's for real, invested, respectful, right? So I think that's so fucking cool.
Agreed. I want to talk about I got stuff on all three of those things, but the Jay thing was really interesting to me because clearly I disagree, but I want to talk about why.
Sure.
If you look at the way that story was told, and not just the story since he won the Royal Rumble, I'm talking the story of their entire feud. Because remember, they wrestled three times for the IC Championship.
Right.
So this is a six-month or longer feud we're talking about. Gunther is very much a bully in that ring, in every sense of the word. And sometimes when you punch, sometimes bullies are when you stand up to them. They're not as tough as they acted like they act like they were. That was why at first when after Jimmy got sent to the gods, I was very, very straight up. I was very bothered by the fact that Jay didn't come out there and try to shoot him in the face or something. But then I listened to the promo and I saw the body language and realized there's something bigger at hand here. He realizes that Gunther only did that because Gunther's trying to control him and trying to be a bully. I'm not scared of you no more. And that's the power you have over me is gone. And that match was about that in a story, because Gunther dominated most of that match till Jay finally started kind of building up. And Jay finished that match the way Gunther would. Gunther has finishers, but he doesn't have like that one move he does that ends matches. He just bludgeons you to death. He'll powerbomb you three times. He'll splash you five times. He'll clothesline you seven times. Whatever he has to do to finish the match, he does. Well, Jay did it multiple times. And then Jay said, from my, I'm surmising, I am going to do to you what you've done to me and everybody else your entire career. I'm going to make you tap out. I'm going to make you quit like you tried to make me and my brother do. And again, I've had time to think about it because it's Wednesday. We're recording. This comes out on Thursday. I was had a problem with him tapping fast. But then I realized he's a bully. He's a bully.
Yeah, it's not as tough.
Of course
tough
he's going to give up fast.
Not as tough
he's
as he puts on. Sure.
That also plays perfectly into what happened Monday, too. Because that was the bully losing control of things when even the schlub fucking announcer fucking takes a pot shot and tries to stand up to him. So,
yep.
Ray, you make a lot of sense, and I still don't agree with you.
No, yeah, I figured.
Yeah, I'm just messing.
No,
you know what? I'll put it differently. You make a lot of sense, and you're right. I still didn't like it.
I'm with you.
That's fine.
It's kind of the same way with the Charlotte Tiffany thing, because you're 1,000,000% right. She wasn't ready for that match. She's probably not ready to be full-time champion, but I'd have her be it 20,000 times longer than Charlotte right now, because I don't want Charlotte anywhere near the title.
Bro,
for a while.
That entrance, that Barbie entrance was awesome. That might have been the entrance of Mania. That was so fucking cool.
One of them,
was. Plus, you never know. Charlotte could have been rushing things a little too, because if you take all the little scuttlebutt that's come out since like the roast went negatively for Charlotte,
oh,
and she
my.
Was in a bad mood, and she
I would
unfriended
pay.
People on Instagram and blah blah blah. So like,
oh really? That happened.
I would pay a lot of money to be able to watch that roast. Yes, because
oh, so would I.
Like, dude, Nia like went in on her bad, dude. Like,
that's my point. Like, yeah, Nia apparently shot and was more insulting than insult comic, and like Charlotte took that personal. So, I'm not gonna apologize it away, but Tiffany might have wanted to sell things or go a little slower, and Charlotte might have just been on edge because she was pissed off earlier.
Mm-hmm.
She's. Okay, Charlotte is not known to be thick-skinned ever.
That,
we know that.
No, that roast wasn't until Sunday night.
I thought it was after the Hall of Fame.
No, it was Sunday night after WrestleMania was done.
Yeah, because Saturday night was the Undertaker
show.
Dude, so yeah.
The Hall of Fame? Are you kidding me? Okay, I was up at midnight central and watched
Why
the Hall.
Why were you up at midnight?
Because I was off Friday, so I was out day drinking.
Oh, you fucker. Okay, fine.
And then I woke back up at 11, and I watched SmackDown quickly in an hour, and then I turned on the Hall of Fame, and I'm sitting here watching the Hall of Fame, and your brother gets off of work, and we're DMing in fucking on X, right? And he's like, oh, post-Hall of Fame show? And I'm like, dude, I'm going to bed after this. It was 3:06 a.m., and Hunter was still talking. I'm like, I gotta go to bed. That took way too fucking long. That's my biggest gripe of the weekend. The way they set that up, that doesn't need to be then. That can be Thursday night, like, I mean, or whenever. I mean,
yeah,
my
biggest gripe was the fact that fucking TNA's fucking Unbreakable bullshit went till like fucking 1 o'clock in the morning on a Thursday.
Yeah,
that was
like
that
a bunch of fucking assholes
because
they did
long?
Fucking Impact from 8 to 10 and then they did 3 hours of Unbreakable. But the card was fucking a shit abysmal fucking way they built it because they put the barbed wire match as the semi main. So we had 30 minutes or whatever to talk there, and I think Chris Bay came out, and I love his story, and in what he did with Chris Van Vliet was great, and what he did for the Benefit show,
the
FSC
show,
Cross
yeah.
and everything, yeah. like yeah. that was all that felt real. This Impact one felt like a work, and it was a 30 to 40 minute work speech that got the we love you kind of chant, which felt a little dragging it out. Then after that, then there was more just talking and bullshit because then they had to take, clean up after the mass fucking barbed wire match for the triple threat for their new international title with Macklin, EY, and fucking
AJ.
AJ Francis. So like that everything except the last two matches were done by 11:30. It took them an hour and a half for two matches.
But that's why every other barbed wire massacre they've had has been the first match of the show.
It should be the first or the last because it takes too fucking long to clean up.
Yep.
And it would have been
it?
Better.
Was it good?
It was a barbed wire match with Sammy looking like a weeble. So what the fuck do you expect? He looks like Bam Margera now, but doing the shit he did back in 2004.
I saw that, man. Whatever injury he had that caused him to blow up like that is crazy, because he was never very fleet of body anyway.
I think it was the broken ankle for when he was tagging with Shamrock, and then I forget who it was that accidentally broke his ankle at that point when it was still like cinematic COVID-verse.
Yeah.
But I think that's when it happened. And he came back like 8 months later and was a little big. Then I think he was out for a little bit again and came back and fucking Oswald fucking like, Cobblepot.
He looks like a thumb.
Yeah. He makes Heyman look svelte.
They call him Crockpot. Yeah,
it's bad. And he can still work, so no diss. But like, it's almost like when Cassius Ohno popped up and he was like, whoa, bro. And again,
it's not, it's whoa, bro.
And I will never diss his weight, because I've seen that man do shit with that weight that people three times is less than his size can't do.
It's a thyroid condition too. So
exactly.
Like he just likes in and out too much. You know what I mean?
For sure. For sure. But it was like a little off putting. Cause you know, I've watched Chris Hero most of his career. And then, you know, I'm an NXT guy. I remember him killing Richie Steamboat, like literally killed him off the show.
Yeah, you're right.
And then all of a sudden he comes back and I'm wearing jersey. He's like, okay, take the jersey off. Nah, homie.
Put it back on.
Jersey I stay on.
Listen, bro.
You know when you get the band strip when you were to put the clothes back on?
This is like, they're like, all right, your skins. He goes, no, it's going to be the three skins, me, and then your four shirts. Don't worry about it. You know I'm not on your team. He's like, I'll put the penny on. Give me the penny. I'll put the penny on. Give me the penny.
Oh God, I haven't heard that fucking word in a while.
Do you guys have any qualms with the way the Cena match ended, with it being kind of the heelest of heel wins?
No.
In the main event?
I don't. I just thought that I agree with Rock. I think the way he politically said it, you know, I would have done the ending. You could use the same people. The people that bitched that The Rock didn't show up, who gives a shit? Like, and if you think that what The Rock said on Pat McAfee about how they booked everything into WrestleMania was true, he's just fucking feeding you a big line of bullshit. That's all they fucking do.
Work. Yeah.
But it was a really good match. I liked the part where Cody could have used the belt, and it backfired, and it cost him because he didn't, right? And they said that. They've been telling you what's going to happen. But the Travis Scott involvement, it was just... It took too long. It was not. Mm-hmm. It was. There's mm-hmm. no. There was no synergistic, consecutive, moment ending. It was just weird.
Agreed.
And I think one of the biggest issues is they still haven't explained what the fuck Travis Scott is doing there, other than he's one of the biggest stars in the world, and clearly he has a friendship with those guys. Like, I think it would help the audience, not me, but the audience, if they explain, oh, well, Travis Scott is his manager, or Travis Scott is his tag team partner, or they have something to give the crowd reason to invest in him, other than them just treating him like a celebrity.
Well, that or they just kind of...
He actually gets involved, like, from well, he's start, training. Like, coming down.
They're, yeah,
and
oh, no, he's... He's lifting. He's training. He's trying to get. He's work. He's like.
I know
he's,
he is,
Booker
but
T
he
is
hasn't
training him.
Really.
Booker
he
T
hasn't met that manager role or that valet role yet. So he's just kind of like celebrity buddy.
Right now, exactly. It's kind of like a loose assumption of association where, okay, Cena's working for The Rock loosely, and so does Travis Scott loosely. So they're kind of all kind of in this loose little, you know, triangle.
It's like a Rodman thing. Because it's like Rodman came out in an NWO shirt. Nobody questioned it in the 90s because we know Rodman's psycho. We're just like, he fucking fits. That's good. We're done.
Well, but he wore the shirt. They gave him the shirt and inducted him into the
But they don't
the
have
stable.
A shirt for Rock and Cena Alliance. You know what I
and
mean?
And even, no, worse, but than he was that, wearing, even he, worse than that, Rock, because Rock isn't coming to, and I'm not saying he should, but because he's not involved or coming, the story was about The Rock, and now Rock left, and like, is Cena even with The Rock, or was that just a one-night thing? Because he hasn't mentioned Rock since.
Travis was wearing the Cactus Jack collection, that the new one that came out, repping that. That was with the belt.
Well,
and
so
the
Mick
shirt.
Foley's part of the group now?
You know he took that from Mick, right? They made a deal where he can use it. That's why he's a hardcore champion. That's why he's a hardcore champion, because of the Cactus Jack thing.
Let's,
I didn't know there was any actual,
awareness. Let's stay on Cena and go, let's fast forward to Monday night, and then we'll go back to the triple threat, and then we'll fast forward that to Monday night, okay? So, Cena comes out, and one of the coolest things now is, like, his entrance is just John Cena. Black with white, towels over my head, like, you know, fuck you guys kind of thing. It's great. And the dates, the number on the Titantron, just by number dropping from 36 down to however many has left. He goes, I don't even have to wrestle with those motherfuckers, right? Did you guys see the video of Randy getting under the ring in between matches? Pretty fucking cool. That was perfect. John yelling shit right before it happened.
Yes, that was the punctuation was perfect.
Epic. Go ahead, Andrew, take it.
Oh no, I'd like honestly, the best thing that came from Cena winning is just his little catchphrase, the unseen 17. Like, I like that. That's like, I didn't think it would really catch me, but like the fact that he was able to turn that into something kind of kitschy and rhymey, I'm like, good. That's not bad. That's not bad at all, because it works with the can't see me joke. It works with the 17. I'm like,
cue the Bob De Niro. You.
I mean, yeah, I'm still, you. I don't like it, but you're like, good. I like that.
You're good, you. You're good.
Cena is doing performance art, and I love it. It is genuine performance art in that everything you guys didn't want me to be. You said I wasn't. I'm doing the opposite of. The best line he's ever said, maybe ever said, was, you say I can't wrestle? I don't need to.
I don't have to.
That's the most gangster thing you ever said on television. Because he's right.
I did.
I love it.
I mean, Hulk Hogan kind of did the same thing too, though.
No, but Hulk could work. Not great, but he could work. We just fit this video up.
Yeah. In Japan and in like his early days.
Minnesota, yeah, Minnesota.
Not after that.
Well, it didn't make any sense for him to do it. It wouldn't have made him any money.
I mean, it made him some money in Japan and Minnesota to come over to the big show.
Speaking of John Cena, though. Oh, go ahead. You're gonna finish. Sorry, Ray, you're gonna finish that. Go ahead.
No, just put a bow on it. For Cena's point, if his whole issue is, I'm in a toxic relationship with you guys. You guys have treated me this way all these years. Why would I do anything for you? Why would I go out here and risk my life and limb and do all these crazy spots? Man, you're going to get this headlock. You're going to get this poke to the eye. You're going to get this AA, and I'm going home. It's performance art. It's genius.
Yesterday was John's birthday.
Happy birthday, John.
I did. I tweeted out, even though at John Cena broke up with me, I'd still like to wish the champ a happy birthday.
That's fair.
You dork.
Thanks.
I mean, didn't he follow you? He followed you, didn't he?
No. Oh. Okay, I don't need it.
Someone still pines for their ex like a bitch. God damn.
So,
hey, that's the ex of Pineapple, though, isn't it?
Bam. When that pussy's good, you know. Here's the deal.
It's subjective. I'll give you that one.
Backlash. Backlash. 3 weeks?
Yep.
We getting that title match?
St. Louis, yeah, of course.
Okay.
That's the reason why Randy couldn't fight Rusev, because he had to win. It's because he's up for the title in St. Louis.
Does John lose right away?
No.
Some fuck shit probably happens.
100%. Look, I would be here. Fans would hate it, and I would love it, because 30-second rant, if you'll indulge me. We have out-nostalgia ourselves. And we have outworked ourselves, because we forget that wrestling is built for us to be the fans that want to cheer the faces. So because we know so much, we think it's cool to cheer the heels or cool to cheer the people. That's fine. But when they do something that moves us, it moves us in a way that wants us to behoove the face. And we have umbrage with it because we think, oh, it's bad. No, it just makes you feel what they want you to feel. What John is doing, what Travis Scott is doing, is not bad wrestling. It's not bad for the company. The company's not in dire straits. They're making you care about John as a heel to build the baby face up. So I would be here for all year if every John Cena match Travis Scott came out and fucked him over. Because that's going to drive people crazy. Until John finally loses, or Travis messes up and makes him lose. Like, I'm here for it, because it's something. A train is starting. We're going somewhere.
I like what you're saying, but the problem is, Randy in a face. Randy's Randy. You even saw it in that 3-minute match with Henry.
Sure, but
Henry was doing his shit, and Randy just kind of glared at him and just poked him in the fucking eye. So, like, that's not something that a babyface does. That's
but
why
he's the protagonist. I give you that.
Randy, in this,
he's a fan favorite. You can say that.
So is Cena, though, especially with the way that, you know, Vegas responded to him and now Dom.
Fair.
So, like,
fair.
Somebody's got to be the antagonist. And I think that's what Travis Scott's perspective and point in the storyline is. If there's no Rock, someone has to be the antagonist, the heat magnet. Because you've got the smart fans, as you already put, that want to cheer the heels because it's cool and they're cool right now. And Randy's been Randy since Jump Street. So, like, it just took people to get into his cold, calculated dickhead, like, kind of persona instead of just thinking he has no charisma and can't fucking cut a promo. And then you kind of look back and go, oh no, he's kind of like Jake Roberts with more athleticism,
you know.
Okay, I get it.
I like there's a snake put in there somewhere. We got to find it.
Thank God there is a Randy Orton, and I'm sure they sussed this out, obviously, because I don't believe what The Rock said on Pat McAfee the other day. But if you don't have a Randy Orton, you really don't have a reason for John Cena to wrestle. Like, this is maybe the only thing that I can think of on the roster that would get John to go, all right, you and me, fine, I'll
wrestle.
There's
two others for sure.
Punk is one of the other ones,
and AJ.
Yeah,
Cena has said that's one of his favorite feuds he's ever had.
Cena and AJ have great chemistry, so I can see him wanting to run that back one more time.
But story,
they're both on the way out.
But
you know?
Storyline
can lose and not hurt anything.
Right, but storyline-wise,
sick of watching him lose, though.
It's Randy to get him to wrestle, like straight out the gate when he said no, because they came out OVW together, right? Like, those other
that's
two
fair.
Guys, no. Like, these guys,
that's fair.
They wrestled, they unified the very championship that's undisputed right now that they're going to fight
there.
For.
That was in Houston. I was there.
I can't
just
argue
go to everything
with that,
in Houston,
and no
don't
one
you?
Can argue with your, with
Rocket
your point,
games,
Tony.
Games, you go to fucking John Cena, Randy Orton matches.
No one can argue with
I know
with
you
your
go
point
to a
because
certain
Randy
Burger
made
King,
the one post on Twitter.
Talk to you. You go to the grocery
said,
store all the time.
Hello, my old friend. Yeah. I can keep talking at the same time you're talking. It doesn't
Ray goes
bother
to
me.
His grandma's
I'm
house.
I'm New Jersey. It's the king of fucking talking against each other and seeing who the fuck runs out first. And I'm pretty sure I'm going to win that one. You're laughing. I can still talk.
And the winner is
Ray
Andrew
goes, Ray goes to work.
Took you like 12 seconds to talk. Stop it. You lost. You got counted out.
Both of those guys have clamored for years that it'd be cool to run it back one last time. So yeah.
What are the other matchups? Give me three guys you want to see Cena wrestle before it's all over.
We already gave you two.
Well, I'm gonna give you three different ones because I don't want to see him redo the hits. It'd be cool, but I want
to
see him give back and
I'd
wrestle
like to
some of these younger kids.
Him and Styles don't need to wrestle. Him and Punk need to do something.
Sure. Now it's different because he's playing for the other side now. But it would have been cool to see him against a guy like Braun or see him against a guy like Drew or something like that. But that's not going to happen because of the whole antagonist heel side, because the heels don't wrestle heels in WWE very often. So it would never happen. Him and Prim versus Priest could be fun, but it would never happen. I don't think Priest is big enough to get to that match.
The guy who I would say, they just turned him heel, Braun Breaker.
Yeah, Braun would have been the guy for sure.
I don't know that they necessarily wanted him to lose the Cena either, right?
No.
Yeah, they would. They protected him. That's why they put him with Heyman.
We're going to talk about the New Dangerous Alliance in a minute. I'm very curious to see how the dichotomy between Braun and Seth is going to work when Braun should want to be the man and Seth is supposedly the man.
But one's the brains, one's the brawn. It's real simple. Like, Seth's been the architect, the visionary, the messiah, the god king, the fucking kingslayer, the bootleg fucking insert fantasy title here bullshit.
Wow. Because
he's clever. And Braun just likes to run through people. So
no,
I think that the roles play, you know, easy.
Traditionally, you're right. But one thing about Braun as a person, as a character, is he's extremely ambitious. So how long will he play that role.
As long as it's question. Beneficial. But Heyman is the same way.
What do you guys think about the comparisons to like a New Evolution where Seth's Triple H and Breaker's the Batista and, you know, I think they're going to add Becky to this, to be honest with you.
So it could fit, but that's why I said Dangerous Alliance is more relevant because
Medusa,
Becky. And then, you know, Who's your fourth? I would have wanted it to be Drew. Because I thought before Kevin Owens got hurt that coming out of WrestleMania was going to be Seth, Drew, and Kevin Owens as a stable. But people are saying Austin Theory. I mean, he needs something better than what I love him. I love Grayson, but Grayson is better as a singles. Yeah. Austin Theory could use something. Although I think Austin Theory needs to run as a face to try to because he's likable.
Austin Theory needs to go away and come back.
Well, the is he, Ray, was you brought up Grayson. Grayson is Austin Theory with more charisma and a better accent. So
I don't
think Theory should be a face because I wouldn't want to turn Grayson heel. Grayson's fucking amazing. Like, he is charisma. He's fun. He's even when he's not trying to be funny, he's entertaining.
Well, that's why they work because he is a heel.
But my point is, though, is that Theory being more of the Dangerous Alliance kind of heel gives him that rub and that support that we haven't seen since VKM has not been in charge. And that was the last time he was kind of in the mix. You know what I mean?
No, I feel you and you're right. But I guess my thought process is it's still the same type. It's still the same guy. In every situation he's been in, when he first started wrestling from Evolve, he was that guy. And then he got called up to be with Seth for 5 seconds before he got in trouble. And he was that guy. And then he went back and he joined up with his wrestling dad, Johnny Gargano, and he was that guy. And then he got called up and he was with his daddy, his real daddy, Vince, and he was that guy. So like, I'd like to see him do something different and change type.
I get that, but where is that going to land him? Because all of the, even though there's 87 belts, like most of the belt scenes are a little clustered right now. Him having a new gimmick isn't going to immediately rocket ship him into a different like stratosphere and put him into a different conversation because he wouldn't be seen as a different level of competitor. So wouldn't you rather see him continue to build up with the tried and the true that we know? And then when it actually pays off, we can see who he becomes and who he gets molded into?
I'd like to see him start from ground up again. Be a babyface. Start from the bottom on the lower tier of the card and earn your way up.
He would have to spend 6 months in TNA to actually reset. He'd have to be off WWE TV 100% because no one's going to unsee that.
What about Logan Paul?
I'm not against that.
Okay, I wanted to see what your answer was because like that's the only way I could see them using who they have ties with.
But TNA could use Austin Theory because they could use another good hand that can. Austin Theory was an indie draw. Whatever you think about the kid drew in the indies. Evolve.
Oh, he'd be a draw in TNA. I'm not dissing the kid because I like him, but I just like I said, Grayson is him better with an accent.
He's better in every way. And Logan Paul, I like Logan as his own person, but he would fit.
He's got a lot of baggage, though.
If they're gonna bring in Becky, I think the other one should be someone we've never heard of.
Like a call up, almost?
From NXT, or like, about completely?
No. You're not even in NXT yet. You're just someone we trust down there that's been working on it, and we know you're gonna be good, and you're going. Because I want someone. You've never seen them before. You have no expectations. Like, anybody else that steps in there, like, except for, like, Drew McIntyre just makes so much fucking sense, right? Like, besides him and Seth having to, like, squash their fucking hatred of each other for a certain period of time. But anybody else just brings, like, Austin Theory, Grayson Waller. Who cares? Like, how many times are you going to fucking cash in the Money in the Bank for the United States title, dude? I mean, you're fucked. Austin Theory specifically has to leave WWE, go be successful somewhere else to come back and be successful there. Otherwise, he will never, ever, he won't even win a mid-card title ever again.
Okay, Theory?
I think Theory could win a mid-card title.
He's not ruined, but he's very, very much damaged.
Or what
That's
about
why I said Carmelo TNA for the reset?
Carmelo?
Carmelo fits. Carmelo fits beautifully.
He does.
I have, and Carmelo and Braun have history. I have a guy that you're gonna all say no, but I want you to think about it for a second.
Hey, yo, everybody, I got a guy.
Big Omos ain't doing nothing right now.
That would be huge.
Maybe literally and figuratively.
Been waiting for that. That would be big because he's, yeah.
Ooh. They need to do something with him quick because Noah Marufuji is literally going to go rob WWE and steal that man because he loves Omos so much.
He loved his time out there too. And he did great. I thought he did great.
He did fantastic.
All right.
He's thinking.
What if you just landed on something with your Marufuji thing? What if they just pull out somebody from Noah to do kind of like a Muda gimmick almost? Like, you don't know who he is, rebrand him a little bit, or since we want a woman and Becky fits, but I just don't want Seth and Becky in the same thing that's a little too on the nose. What if they pick a girl from Stardom because they're always at WrestleMania because they always do Twitter updates and stuff like that. So if there was like Konami, which is trained by Asuka, or Hazuki or somebody like
Maki Ito.
Ooh,
she's not Stardom, but I get what you're getting at. She's TJP, Tokyo Joshi Pro.
Shinsuke makes sense.
Sorry.
What about Shinsuke?
Well, no, forget that. I love Shinsuke. What about Naito? He's a free agent. He's got two knees
and like half an eye.
The WWE schedule.
He can wrestle five more years.
He has half an eye because of the gimmick.
And so, that's the only one that works, though. He's had to have eye surgery the last 2 years in a row after his knee. He's falling apart.
You're right, but tell me the swag wouldn't fit.
Okay, you want swag from New Japan? Hiromu.
Hiromu's never leaving New Japan.
I don't think he is, but like, what if?
They're building that company around him, David Finley, and Chota. Because that's all they got left.
They're building that company around him because the other two you mentioned.
No, I rock with Shota. He's not ready yet. But just like Naito wasn't ready the first time and they nerfed him, I still rock with Shota.
And they sent Naito to Mexico for 6 months before they would accept him. So where are they going to send Shota or Finley?
Well, they Shota already did his excursion. He was in RevPro. He already did it.
So was Naito. And Naito went back because they rejected him. So
because
Shota's the one that you end up in fucking Dangerous Alliance 2.0.
Stardust guy thing didn't work for nobody who ever used the word Stardust ever works clearly.
Hey, people love Stardust, the genius and the he. Yeah, exactly. Cody's gonna come back as Stardust after he got embarrassed. Just watch.
I've long wanted Naito to get one little run in WWE because I think it would be perfect for him. And he, trust me, so this is a random tangent.
Go for it.
You remember when they did the Diamond Mine in NXT, the original Diamond Mine? Mm-hmm. When it was like an MMA group and Stokely was the promoter.
Nivey Isle was part of that, right?
Who?
Wasn't Nivey Isle?
No, not that? The first time. Not the first time. That was
She wasn't the one of the original time. Ones?
No. The original ones was Roddy, Tyler Rust, fuck, who was the other guy?
That's a horrible name. That's not his name. Why would you pick Rust as your last name?
And Tyler Rex wasn't a good name either, but
it's better than
his
Rust.
His last name is really Rust, I believe.
Oh,
Well, then why wouldn't you change it? And especially in a business where nobody has their real fucking name.
The reason I bring that stable up is because Haichi Man was part of the group.
Yeah, so you're right. He was
the trainer. But he would wrestle from time to time, but he was the trainer.
Yeah.
Because it was an MMA stable. Naito could be that.
I see Naito getting a Liger kind of thing, where he'll get one match in WWE just to kind of pop the crowd and maybe induct him for some reason if they need a Hall of Fame name. But I don't trust his health. That's kind of where I'm at. If he could take a year off of like low economy kind of bullshit in Japan, take a year off to get healthy, and then maybe. But we're talking a year out. Dangerous Alliance might not even be around in a year. factions don't always last in WWE. So.
What are they going to call this, too? I don't know what they're going to call this.
I don't know. Seth will probably name it something. Like the blueprint or some shit like that. He'll ask fucking Matt Morgan if he can use it without getting sued because he was pissed off at Sasha Banks when she was calling herself the blueprint.
They don't need the blueprint, stupid.
You are asking me a question on the spot. It's the first thing because he's the architect douchebag of Doom. So, like, you know.
I'm the douchebag of Doom?
Oh, he is.
Oh. You don't like him, do you?
You're the alliterative asshole.
That's a true story. You don't like Seth Rollins, do you?
Never have, never will.
Wow. You don't even...
I was okay with Tyler Black at different points.
I was going to ask that. Do you like Tyler Black?
No. Oh, okay.
Okay, no, hey. Well, you talk about... Bring Jimmy Jacobs.
Well, Seth Rollins isn't even...
The Vampire Princess is beyond his usefulness in wrestling right now.
So to you, Seth Rollins is not even one of the top 25 wrestlers in the world.
Are we using a subjective metric?
All right, we can move on.
Or do you
we
mean
can move
objectively?
On. Now we can move on. I got my answer.
Because he's not in my top 25.
I got my
but
answer.
But I guess if we look at body of work.
Yeah,
yada,
Ray.
Yada, yada,
that's the kind of stuff we're dealing with here.
I'm just saying, if you want me to be objective,
Ray
probably.
Is wowing you right now.
In my top 25?
Ray is not. Ray is not wowing me right now.
No, I'm not.
I could probably put 15 Japanese guys in here that you've never heard of, Tony, and you'd be like, but they're not in WWE. So la 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 la. Mm, yeah.
I already put up. I already
than just in ring stuff. You know?
I already put a title on the show, and I might have to change it too. I could put 15 Japanese guys in here.
I like that. That's definitely more of a pot is war title.
Yeah.
And Ray, you also you're well versed enough to know that Japanese guys aren't just all wrestling, no extra. They get commercials, they have their own bars in different areas. They're like small time celebrities. Like where we get like Sydney Sweeney to do shit, they'll get fucking, you know, fucking Monster Morning or fucking Togi Makabe to do a cooking show.
Togi
Makabe.
That's legitimate. If Togi Makabe is doing fucking cooking shows, we need to get better people.
The funny thing is, though,
Togi Makabe's had a cooking show for a while, and so was Yamato from fucking Dragon Gate.
But why is Sydney Sweeney doing like a Japanese type commercial though for like Sasquatch Body Watch Doc or something?
Thank you. You understood where I was going with that. My point exactly.
Okay, Sydney Sweeney at the end of that commercial, she goes Sasquatch Doctor Body Wash. I can put 15 Japanese guys in here.
Hey.
And then I'd be like, I'd watch that. Thank you.
Hey, those Madam Web residuals ain't coming in right now. So Euphoria hasn't started recording yet.
She'll be okay though. She'll be okay. She got Euphoria and a couple other things.
Well, they still haven't come back yet. So
she's got them tatas. She'll always be okay.
Our man Ray Cash is going to the playoff game tonight. So what I want to do right now is I want to kick it to Kenny Killa for a quick commercial break. And when we come back, a little bit of NFL draft talk that's going to happen tonight. So you're listening to Pod is War right here. Ray Cash, Andrew Blaz, PC.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line, plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
Tony.
This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Ray Cash, Andrew Belaz, PC Tunney here. A little oblong ball foot show here for you. NFL draft tonight, guys. Let's just start with our own teams. Andrew, we'll start with you. I believe you have the highest pick out of our teams. What are the Bucks looking at here in the first round?
Number 19.
Probably a playoff exit?
I mean in the draft.
Oh. I don't know. Like, they don't really need a wide receiver. So you can make an argument, but they don't. They don't need offense. They need a cornerback, a safety. They need more defensive help. So I'm not a college person, so I don't know what cornerback or what DB or like safety slash kind of person would be available around the 19. But if they don't go defense for the first two out of three rounds, I don't know what the fuck they're doing.
I've seen a few people prognosticate Jihad Campbell out of Alabama, inside linebacker for you guys, who may not possibly have his biggest impact the first year. He's coming off of an injury, but like I listened to Mina Kimes the other day talk specifically about this guy, going, if he falls, we could be talking about him 2-3 years from now, going, someone should have been smart enough to see that he was going to be fine from that, because that kid is a stud.
Does he have decent speed?
Oh, yeah. He's from Alabama.
So he can east-west cover like a slot or a tight end?
Not
that's
many
athletic?
Linebackers. Not many linebackers at Alabama can do that, can run the shuttle drill. Matt Miller's last draft for ESPN has Jahdae Barron, cornerback from Texas.
Again, those I'd be totally fine with, because at least the position is correct.
I like Jihad Campbell. I would say to you, you may not think you need receivers, but Mike Evans is 75, huh, and Chris Godwin's knees are 112.
Oh, well, you're not wrong about that. But even the extra ones that we have, I think we still have Sterling Shepard, unless they cut him when I stop paying attention to like the third or fourth string.
104 in football years. Keep
okay,
going.
But I'm on
Baker's like buddy, so at least they have chemistry, so that could help, unless like he gets a massive injury.
I'm on CBS and a bunch of their mock drafts from their writers, and 6 out of 7 guys have you taken Jihad Campbell.
I'm good. I'm fine with that.
It's a good
not
pick.
To mention,
good pick.
Yeah. Wide receivers you can get in the third and the fourth, and they're still fine. Like, even though Al Davis became a meme in his older years, his one thing about you can't teach speed is correct. Like, granted, yes, some of his picks were busts because they didn't have hands and never learned how to have hands. And we all know who I'm talking about. But you know,
Darius Harris Bay. Excuse me.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry. So, but at least if they're quick and they're 6 foot or taller, like there's a chance you can make something out of it. Especially if you have Godwin and Mike Evans as people to learn from and sit under that tree. So, I don't think Bucks need to worry about wide receivers unless everybody gets injured in the first 3 weeks of the season.
The way y'all season went last year, you better go get another Cam Brate.
Tight ends, we never really have an issue with.
Boy, well, if you guys
my point is that was your best offensive weapon.
I get you, but ever since like K2, like even the backup tight ends have been all right. They've been serviceable.
K-Dotton's
like we
bad.
Don't really have bad tight K-Dotton, ends. If K-Dotton's, you think about it,
K-Dotton's probably top 10 tight end.
And I mean K-Dotton, not to Cam Brate, but you know what I mean.
I know who you meant. That's why I was just. But even if you think about it, Kellen Winslow Jr.
White boy, yeah.
Yes, Kellen Winslow Jr., that time forward, like the last, 20 years?
OJ Howard.
Have had good, yeah, they've had good tight ends, and sometimes they've had a plethora so they can trade away certain people or like let them release. So tight end I'm not upset with.
All right, Ravens are picking after the Packers, so we'll go to the Packers. If Teteroa McMillan out of Arizona falls to them, I'd be – he's not going to, but if he does – they need to finally take a receiver in the first round for the first time since Javon Walker. Yes, it's been that long.
Wow.
It's been that long.
Wow.
Let's go, baby. Finally, an Arizona Wildcat in the first round. We back, baby.
But it's more likely you're going to see the Packers take someone like Walter Nolan out of Ole Miss, or they might go cornerback dude out of Michigan. What's Will Johnson?
That's so who I got in my fear.
They're going to take the best player available. I don't think they're stuck on defense anymore. They got 800 fucking first round draft picks on defense, right? Like Halfley turned them around last year, and I think you're just going to see that progression go up. I mean, if a good offensive line they like falls, great. Let's do that too. The more protection, the better. But
yeah,
man, I wouldn't be surprised. Put your money on D line or secondary.
Yeah, I agree with that. Especially with the fact that you guys finally decided y'all wanted to run the ball. Josh Jacobs had a fantastic year for y'all last year. Double up. Stacked line.
Yeah.
Get big.
Let's talk about the Ravens, Ray. You guys picked 29th, 30th?
27th.
No, 27th. My bad. Yeah. 27th. I'm seeing names like James Pierce Jr., Maxwell,
I love James Pierce Jr.
Maxwell Hairston, maybe somebody like Josh Conley Jr. if you go offensive tackle.
The mock I'm looking at has Malachi Starks, the safety out of Georgia, which anybody from that Georgia defense I'm cool with. We need two things, and we need two things desperately. We need offensive line help because we continue to lose guys. We lost two offensive linemen this year. That we just keep rebuilding, but Let's build up first round. Cool. I'm fine with it. We love to pick a random ass guard in the first round. I'm cool with that. And we need edge help. We need a premier edge rusher because as much as I love the Stormin' Mormon, Kyle Van Noy, he's 47 years old. Like we need somebody who was born, you know, in this millennium.
Turn of the century.
Yeah. It'd be nice. Who can actually rush the passer. But unfortunately, all of the ones who were going to be dominant would be gone by 27. There's some good ones. So the way Ozzy and Eric DaCosta think is, well, we'll just go get a guy that has good metrics or like a good tape, and we'll build him up in the fourth round, which, again, it's worked for us so far. But we need, like, we had a really good year in terms of total sacks, but, like, we don't have that edge rusher that you fear. And that was the reason why at the beginning of the season, why there was so much turmoil in our passing game. That, and they put Kyle Hamilton at the wrong position, moved him back to traditional free safety, and then everything kind of fixed itself. Mm-hmm. But I'm cool with either one. We just brought back our Darius Washington on a very, very team-friendly deal, so our safeties are good. So we don't really need a third unless you want to get a nickel corner / hybrid safety. But, yeah, I think our secondary is good going forward. I'd like to get an edge rusher, offensive lineman. That's what we need.
I like the way you both framed the needs because, I mean, honestly, the main reason I don't really watch college is because how many really good, like, top 10 hits have there been in a while? And, like, or how many surprises have there been from college? People are just like, oh, well, he had bad tape, but he turns out to be great. Lamar slipped to fucking the end of the first and look what the fuck he is. So, like, I don't put weight into college tape like a bunch of other people do. That's why I just go, let's pick for our needs and see what they become. Because we get so many fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh round players or walk-ons that fucking end up just being great at football and great at NFL football and tons of busts in the first and second round that just never make it past like year three and go off to be fucking real estate agents. So I can't get too hung up on a name because then it turns into like wrestling prognostication and you just get stuck on, I don't like this guy, I like this guy. And the fact that you didn't pick this guy, I'm mad at you and I'm going to hate you forever.
That's the secret sauce for radio, dude.
But he's stupid.
I get it. Yes, that's right, Andrew, because a person can be smart, but people are stupid. So that's what we have to play to. Let's talk about the top of the draft.
Make them smarter, though?
Many have tried, all have failed.
Let me drop you over in the Gaza.
I've tried that much because
Andrew,
I have that same
here's why.
Oh, fuck it, this doesn't work.
Andrew, here's why. I'm going to drop you on the Gaza Strip and see if you can get those people to stop throwing rocks at each other, okay?
I'll just show them pictures of Sydney Sweeney. That'll stop a lot of people.
For a few minutes.
With 15 Japanese guys in there?
15 guys in Sydney Sweeney?
I didn't say that. I said him there. I said him there.
Someone asked Grok to make that happen.
No.
Ay, Dios mío.
And I am
Dio can't help you now, baby.
I just lost my check mark, Andrew. Thanks a lot. Let's talk about the top of the draft, though.
But that's a check mark. I know I can do it.
It seems like Cam Ward for sure is heading to Tennessee. More than likely Travis Hunter to Cleveland, right? But it seems like maybe Cleveland and the Giants are up for willing to trade. Guys like Abdul Carter, Will Compton are going to go in the top four or five, right? After that, it's interesting. There's guys like, where's Ashton Jeanty? Do the Raiders take him at 6? Do the Bears trade up? Does he fall to the Bears at 10? Do the Bears take a guy like Tyler Warren, even though they have a good tight end in Cole Kmet, right? You can never have too many good tight ends. So I don't know. I think. And then Shedeur Sanders. Where does Shedeur go? Is it smoke screens? Do the Giants just sit tight and go, hey, man, we need a fucking franchise quarterback. We'll take him at 3. Does he go at 9 to the Saints? Right? Does he fall all the way? He's not getting past 21, right, Ray?
Well, look, first and foremost, if this man ends up being a lifetime Pittsburgh Steeler, I'm going to punch the air for the rest of my natural born life. Need you to know that. Because I already got to deal with that dude, Joe Burrow. I already got to deal with him. Yeah, Cleveland sucks. So, I think the Giants can the Mara family fire themselves? Because, like, even if you don't believe in Shedeur, we on this show clearly do. You know you need a quarterback because you got rid of your guy that you drafted last time. You still have Tony DeVito signed.
Tony?
Third string quarterback, whatever.
Tommy,
yeah.
I was going to call him
Tony. He's Italian. It's fine. Tony works.
I was going to call him Tony D'Angelo, so be happy I got the last name.
Tony.
Ladies and gentlemen, Careless Levert.
But he was trolling. I really thought that was that man's name. So, but you signed Russ and you signed Jameis, both to 2-year deals. Why in God's green earth would you go and draft a quarterback knowing that he's not going to play wasted money on two guys that want to start?
It's Russell Wilson's going to start there, and Jameis Winston's the fucking backup policy. And they're thinking, you know what? Hey, wow, maybe if Jameis sits behind Russell for 1 year, he'll learn not to throw 30 interceptions and only throw 18 interceptions, and then we can keep him.
Well, Russell ain't the guy to learn from in that regard, at least not old Russ.
Russ doesn't turn the ball over a lot.
Old Russ. Did it. New Russ likes to give the ball away.
Okay, when he was on the Broncos, it was only like 11 picks and like, what, 2 or 3 fumbles. And last year it wasn't too bad. Yes, it was only like half a season. But he's still not that bad.
Remember, there was 2 years in the Broncos. The first year he was god-awful.
That team was abysmal too, though.
He's part of it.
But the whole team was – it took him like fucking what?
He's 15
games to throw more touchdowns than he had bathrooms?
Okay, hold on. Let me go backwards from our start in 2024. Touchdowns, interceptions. Last year, 16-5.
Yeah.
The year before in Denver, 26-8.
Thought it was 11, so that's even better.
First year in Denver, not as good. 16-11. Then Seattle, working backwards. 25-6, 40-13, 31-5, 35-7, 34-11, 21-11, 34-8, 20-7, 26-9, 26-10. That guy
those
took care
of. Those are all 2 and 3 to 1, though.
He's
somewhere
over
in the average.
His career
that's
not
bad.
His career is 350-111, so he's over 3-1. So that's he takes care of the ball.
I agree with you. Yeah. So, granted, Ray has a call he's on right now, so he can't chime back in.
How convenient!
Wow. So, I agree with you again, Tony. I think this might be the second or third time in the show, so we need to stop doing this. It's getting weird. But the fact that Giants shouldn't get a quarterback. Like, Shedeur, the biggest knock on Shedeur, even though mentally he's probably the most NFL-ready and he's got Dion to kind of lean back on for advice and to kind of prep himself, he doesn't have the best arm strength. And with the way that team is kind of a mess and the main receiver, Neighbors, isn't really a slow guy. and he's kind of a big target, so you gotta find him. You don't want a weak arm guy, and Russ can still throw a fucking dime. He can still feather the ball into a magic spot. Jameis never had arm issues. He had accuracy issues. And, I mean, you know, good old Tommy DeVito, if he spends all the time flipping pizzas, like, you know, he's got to have good arm strength, too. You gotta make that nice and round. You good. So I don't think Shador would be a good fit for the Giants is all I'm saying. Even schematically. Plus, the team is bad. Why would you want to put that kid behind all of that shit?
The funny thing is there's three quarterbacks that aren't likely to go in the first round that are could possibly be the best quarterbacks in the draft class. Like Tyler Shough, Jackson Dart, and Jalen Milroe. Yeah, they're all guys that, like, Shador could drop to the third round.
I don't think he's going to.
I've heard GMs anonymously say, horrible interview, very entitled, and, like, talent-wise, just not that good. But so, I don't agree with that. I'm just saying there are rumors floating out there for him to drop into Friday.
Oh, I agree with you, but that it'll drop, not to Friday. But I think this has all just been a game of chess, where instead of wanting to be like Eli or like John Elway and just tell them no after the draft announcement happens, I think he's purposefully tanking some of these interviews just so he doesn't have to go there. Because if you want my opinion on where his perfect spot is, Raiders. Because you've got Brady, you've got, what, a young fucking, not young, but you got Carroll, who likes younger players, he gets along with them. You know, Brady would be really good with somebody who has to learn. And, you know, Brady's got a better arm than Shador probably has, but I think Brady could cultivate that. And if they made more of a West Coast kind of offense, Brady never had to chuck it when he had Deion Branch and all that other shit. He didn't start flinging it till Randy Moss. So he could. He didn't have to, was my point. So, and Milroe is sneaky because they invited him to actually sit at the first round, even though he's projected to not be a first rounder. But you know why I think he's there? The best place for me that I think he can land? The Saints. Because Derek Carr's got that surgery issue. And what better, like, if Milroe was getting kind of comparisons to Lamar, and you've got Alvin Kamara for a couple more years, why wouldn't you want a dynamic scat back, a dynamic quarterback, and have the offense flow through them? It doesn't have to be long. It doesn't have to be deep. It doesn't have to be spicy. It could just be them complementing each other and working with the pieces that they have until they build up a better team. Plus, Milroe's got a huge arm. So I think he's great there. And I think Shuck ends up in the Browns either second or third round because he's, perfect for studying under Flacco? Like, they're both big fucking white trees that can fucking throw the ball. So Shaq and Flacco seems like a perfect kind of, like, mentorship.
We'll see. I don't see the Raiders drafting a quarterback in any of the first 2 days because they just paid Geno $85 million for the next 3 years, and 65 of it's guaranteed. I think the Raiders take Genty. I think they want the – Genty came out and said, man, any play has to end with a tackle. Draft a guy no one can tackle, and I will do what Saquon just did for Philly. Like, dude came out and said that. Like, I think the Raiders take him at 6. I really do.
It could be, but if Shador does continue to slip, nobody stops the Raiders from taking him second round.
That's possible. I don't know. I just to sit for 3 years.
I think it'll only be sit for one, challenge the second year, and then see where the third year kind of takes us if he maybe beats Geno. And because Geno wasn't that impressive last year. Geno had his big come out 2 years ago.
Seattle
last
wasn't
year,
that
he
good
was hot and cold.
Year.
He was, but still, Geno was two-faced. You know what I mean? He'd throw the picks in the end zone that cost them the fucking game, and then other times he'd make the miracle throw that won them the game. So he was way more streaky last year, and he still managed to get a decent contract this year. So I think that's a one-year deal with play well, and then you'll probably be the starter in the second year. But if Shador's nipping at his heels and she figures it out quick, I think that would be a nice spot. Plus, I just really like the Milrose spot in New Orleans, especially with the questions around Carr. And I think that would help that team. Second. And it's a team. And that, him being a rookie, it's a team-friendly deal, and they don't got a lot of money.
That'd be a second-round pick then for the Saints. They wouldn't take him at 9. But, yeah, they're going to take someone there. There's plenty of talent in this draft. This is definitely not the 2013 draft. For those of you who know, you know. But, yeah, is there any added luster for you that it's in Green Bay? Does that mean anything to you? Do you care?
Why would that be luster for me? That should be luster for you. I'm surprised you didn't go. It's down the street from you.
Oh, yeah, right. It's only 2.5 hours away.
Wisconsin's not small. That is down the street comparatively.
I got to work, man.
Oh, so this is a good week where you're not mad?
I'm always mad. I'm always upset. You know, the funny thing is...
I'm not mad, I'm upset.
I'm not mad, I'm always upset. No, but I'm just thinking as fans in general, is it like, oh, cool, it's at Lambeau. Like they're touring the draft around, you know?
Any historic stadium, arena, anything like that, be it, you know, Fenway or Wrigley for baseball or Lambeau for NFL and yada yada, that's always a big deal. Like, it's fun for people that like the history of the sport. Now, will most people go there just to get drunk and be stupid with their buddies because it's the draft? Yes. But it's still cool because it's a historical spot. And, you know, Green Bay is title town. Can't take that away from you.
Yeah, one of the more destination things where, well, that's the thing, though. You go to Lambeau, you go to Green Bay, you want to see a football game if you've never been there before. This is not at the stadium, obviously. But the funny thing is you can take a tour and, like,
I was about to say, aren't they opening up the stadium for tours?
That would always seem silly
if they're not.
No, it's always open year round. They have a huge experience up there that you can go and do all this stuff year round too. It's like a.
Don't they have like an aeration or any kind of like downtime to like revamp the stadium or the field or anything like that? Because they don't use it for other sports, right?
No, but they still open it up for tours. They can aerate it and open up for tours.
I wasn't sure what they did when it came to the renovations.
They just bring in new turf there when they need to, but their groundskeepers are good there. I mean, that's year-round kind of thing.
Oh,
Ray,
that's neat. Okay.
Ray, welcome back to the show.
Hey.
Do you have any thoughts? Because we're pretty much wrapped up here. Last thoughts on the NFL draft, Ray. Who's going to slip? Where's Ashton Jeanty going to go? Tyler Warren, any thoughts on that? I know you got a little of the quarterback talk in already, but we're just kind of running down some of the other people that are some of the bigger prospects.
So I'll tell you this. I don't believe any of the mock drafts because I think there's going to be a lot of trading in the top 10. Why Cam Ward is number one quarterback, I don't know, but cool. That is what it is. Tennessee, that's the only one that seems to be happy with that. A lot of people probably want Travis Hunter. A lot of people definitely want Abdul Carter. If I'm Jerry Jones, I do what I got to do to get Ashton Jeanty for sure because they need a running back desperately. Yeah.
They're going to have to move way up, though, I think. I think Raiders take them at 6, man.
The Broncos could trade up, too, though, because the Broncos kind of need one also.
Well, yeah, because Javonte is about 27 years old. Well, no, 27 is young, so 47 years old. No, Javonte is old as hell. They're, like,
you're
those
right?
guys are old. Ted McMillan probably won't. He's not gonna go past if everything stays where it is. Dallas will take him at 12. He won't go further than that. But I just don't believe things are gonna go the way they look because I'm pretty sure it's gonna be a lot of trading. In fact, I would not be shocked if Cleveland and the Giants both traded back.
Those are the rumors.
Got more depth.
Those are the rumors. So we'll see what happens. It should be an interesting night. I don't know if
Jacksonville's on the trade back rumor too.
Makes sense.
Yeah, because Jacksonville is stacked talent wise, they just suck.
That's such a funny sentence, isn't it?
Well, it's true in many ways.
That's true. It's true. If they could figure out how to fucking book their teams.
I love the word you used, book.
I'm drawing comparisons here to, you know, scripted and unscripted entertainment.
Which one's the unscripted one?
The world may never know.
So I used to get
thank you, Mr. O.
When I was younger, I used to get pissed off like you know, it, we mirror a golf scramble and people always put these stupid fucking scores up, right? I mean, unless they're ridiculous, somebody once told me, unless it's unconscionable, it takes a lot of people to lie. I don't think the NFL, I don't think the NFL, the NBA, Major League Baseball, the NHL, NASCAR, F1, I don't think any of that's scripted.
No, NASCAR is just watching the highway anymore. That's just boring. You can't script boredom.
Nah, but the fuels are scripted though, bro. Don't get it twisted, because they a lot. Think about it. So, racing is such a weird thing. F1, NASCAR, IndyCar, because you have teammates that you're actively trying to help win, but also beat. And then they be beefing and fight. Like, come on, man. Like, some of that shit is like, yeah, go out there and make it look good.
For F1, I agree with you. For NASCAR, it's just because they're all fucking immature children who have no personalities and just cry when they don't get their way. NASCAR is pathetic now. When Kyle Busch is one of the better fucking personalities, you know NASCAR sucks.
Those of you listening, when he talks about they're just children and all that stuff, hi, Tony Stewart.
Kyle Busch and his wife
were... a dick. That's different.
Kyle Busch and his wife were
Everybody
just on...
Everybody was a dick. Remember Rusty Wallace? Hi, Rusty Wallace.
Rusty Wallace was a nice guy. No, but Kyle Busch and his wife were just on...
I like how you can't quite keep it together on that one.
Bert Kreischer just had Kyle Busch and his wife on Something's Burning. It's pretty good.
I don't... I still don't understand why that man is like a superstar all of a sudden. Ooh. He's a good racer. Kyle Busch. He's the guy now. He's a good racer.
He's the last of the okay generation, and he's... not likable, and he's a mediocre racer.
Got multiple covers. Yeah.
He's
good for him.
He's okay. Good.
But right. I didn't want to talk NASCAR.
Jimmy Johnson has tied for the most, and he's still a cunt.
No, Jimmy has. No, Jimmy has the most.
Jimmy has 8.
Yeah.
Did he? I thought he was stuck at 7 with Earnhardt and Petty.
No.
When did he get 8?
No. I'm almost positive.
Hey, y'all can't never say we don't talk everything on here, because we're talking NASCAR for you.
I didn't really don't want to talk NASCAR.
Yeah, I don't either, because I haven't watched it in about a decade when it turned into Jimmy Johnson.
Especially since Andrew's right, so we're going to move on.
Bitch!
Wasn't he number 8? Was he number 8?
That's Dale. Oh, that's Junior, sir.
That was Junior. Good God, even Ray Chuck. I think he was 48. Wasn't that the Lowe's car?
Is it Cale Yarborough? Does that mean anything?
Yeah, that's an old 70s, 80s racer.
I know I'm being funny.
Around Richard Petty.
I'm just being funny right now.
Okay. We could talk about Rusty Waltrip. We could talk about Darrell Waltrip if it makes you feel better.
I'd rather talk about Alan Kulwicki or Matt Kenseth.
You only like Kulwicki because of his old sponsor being Hooters. Now that neither of them exist anymore. Hey, look at me being an asshole.
Both of, well, Kulwicki and Kenseth are both from Wisconsin.
Let me guess.
I know where they're from, too. They're from that goddamn Oshkosh.
No, they're not from Oshkosh. Alan Kulwicki's from right around here. Alan Kulwicki Park is like 2 minutes up the road.
Uh-huh.
What about Dick Trickle? He had a great name.
So that's funny. We can end the show on this fun story. Are you ready? And Andrew, you've probably heard this one before, and I don't know if Ray has or not. So me and Satchel McFlippins, this is our mid-20s. We've been out all night, and we finally make it to the last bar, and it's probably just after midnight. And we sit down, and we're drinking gin. Not that it matters. So this lady, who's probably in her mid-40s, comes over, and Satchel McFlippins is a good-looking dude. Short dude. Dark hair, good-looking dude.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, oh, my God, are you Jeff Gordon? He goes, sure thing. This is my buddy Dick Trickle. And he goes, looks at me, and he goes, this is my buddy Dick Trickle. And she goes, will you sign my napkin? And he signed it, Jeff Gordon, avoid the clap.
Wow.
We drank for free the rest of the night, my friends.
That's a fantastic story.
There you go. All right, Ray, you are headed to, what's the Rockets arena name?
Toyota Center.
You are headed to the Toyota Center tonight. Will the Rockets even the series up at 2 against this rejuvenated Jimmy Butler co-led Warriors?
Hell no.
Hell no. The Warriors are dangerous with Jimmy. Cause
the Rockets will get one. There's going to be one game where Jimmy and Steph take the day off.
Jimmy and Steph both know it's the last chance.
Yeah, this year, then this year and next year, that's it.
I don't know. Next year they have no shot because 5 seconds. I know Oklahoma City's been by far the best team in the league, right? But I don't think they're gonna. I don't think this is their year. But next year, because every team needs to learn what it takes to win and lose in the playoffs. Next year, Oklahoma City's going to win 70-plus games and beat everybody. You got to get it now.
All right. Oh, they might still. Steph's going to brick. Jimmy always takes a game or two off every series. Like, you've seen Jimmy play. He'll score 30 and then he'll score 7. So, like.
But they don't need him to score. Right now, what he is a facilitator and a defender. And well, sure, because he can, and because Amen Thompson, the best defender, is on Steph.
Well, yeah, I mean, and here's the thing: you talk about specifically what they've done with Jimmy Butler to add an element to their offense that is actually most effective in the playoffs. When everything breaks down, they can just clear out for Jimmy Butler, and he can find his own shot almost as good as anybody in the NBA. And if they double him, he is so intelligent to make the right pass.
And they have the two of the most unselfish stars. Because a lot of stars in the NBA, when it comes down to it, they want the shot. They want this, that one. Steph and Jimmy will pass the ball at any. Steph don't even bring the ball up half the damn time.
Well, and you got Draymond, too.
Well, I'm not calling him a superstar like in the caliber of what Jimmy and Steph are. But yes, for sure.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm not saying what I'm saying to shit on Jimmy either, because Jimmy's good, but we've all seen enough of his games to know he's going to have a day where he just doesn't do anything. And agreed. If it happens to coincide with Steph being cold that day, that's a blowout.
But in every single one of those games, though, he was always the guy. He's not the guy on this team.
All right, before we get out of here, I just want to hear the two teams. I don't want a prediction of who's going to win between the two teams. I just want to hear two teams. Who's going to be in the finals? I've got Cleveland and Golden State.
Do you want me to say mine while you're thinking, Ray?
Go ahead.
Because I was just going to say, I like the Golden State one. I'm leaning to the Warriors, but I was also going to say the Celtics.
Okay. To me, it's five teams. To let Ray think a little bit more. It's Cleveland, it's Boston, it's Oklahoma City, it's Denver, and it's Golden State. Out of everybody else, I'd be shocked if any one of the other than those five, including the Lakers, won the fucking title. Period.
Denver's not getting out the first round. The Lakers have a shot. I'm with you too. I got Warriors, but I don't believe in either the number one seed. I love Cleveland, but I just don't think they're good enough to beat the Celtics, who are 11
Boston.
Deep.
Boston. Yeah, they're good.
Yeah.
They're good.
So, Warriors Celtics. Although, how hilarious would it be that in the year 2025,
Golden State,
the year of our Lord.
The year of our Lord, 2025, Golden State Celtics Cleveland. Lakers.
Oh, that'd be interesting too. Well, no, that not crazy. I mean, shit. I mean, Boston, it's Cleveland or Boston. And
he
then
would be historic.
You got LeBron and Luka on the other side. So, yeah. I mean, it's going to be fun. We're going to continue to talk about it. Ray's going to be at the game tonight. I'm sure tomorrow morning you wake up, you go, where's Ray Cash on Twitter? He told you how awesome it was. Ray, let everybody know where they can find you.
You're not going to find me on Twitter.
At it's Ray Cash.
Andrew, how about...
You back at Blue Sky? Ray Cash pussy?
At it's Ray Cash.
Never was on it.
Well, Rick Never Cash was pussies on it. Are a blue sky.
Well,
so, just saying.
And Cindy Sweeney's apparently are in 15 skies. So things are weird around here. I don't know where this is coming from.
We keep it weird. It's like a Fandango promo.
Bot is war. We keep it weird.
No, Johnny Curtis.
Where can everybody find you, Mr. TNA, Andrew Belez?
Twitter, IWC War Chief. Also, if you're going to find something else from Mania Weekend that's not WWE umbrellaed, Miyu Yamashita versus Natty Neidhart at GCW Bloodsport. Wow. Fucking banger.
I agree.
That was like 7 minutes and it fucked. Like, that was the best Natty's looked in a long time.
I seen that. I seen that. That was good.
I concur.
Here's the one thing I didn't like about that before we get out of here is she could have taken the buttons off the back of her.
The only thing I didn't like is how quickly she sharpshooted her. I would have liked to see it be more shoot and a little less work on that point.
No, it was the buttons on her ass. You can follow me at PC Tunny. Follow the short pot is more. You'd like to button up that ass?
Button up the show and said, come on, get with it.
It's over.
What he's trying to say is bye, y'all.
Yeah. Sayonara. Hasta la vista. Adios.
Bitches.
Bitches, wow. Putas.
Puta madre.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.